This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, we are live. We'll do it live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. Draft Tuesday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. I saw a lot of the draft stuff last night, Tiki.
Yeah, it was good.
The barbershop.
The barbershop was fun.
A little better than Brutus Beefcake back in the day.
We got to do that like here. We got to figure out a way to do that here.
They had props. They had the little red, white, and blue spinning thing. Yeah.
We'll set. I don't know. This desk is too big.
Am I allowed in the barbershop?
Of course. That's what I'm saying. You can be like the shave guy. You be the shave guy. I'll be like the hair trimmer.
That's cool.
Yeah. Adam, when I was, he came over and sat down at the end of the barbershop segment, and I had a comb, and I was just like gently combing his hair. He thought it was clippers. He's like, "Are you really cutting my hair?" I'm like, "No, man."
Oh man, that was last night. Teak had a chance to work with Kevin Carter and
Danny Cannell
here on CBS Sports Network. It was good. I saw a lot of the clips on social media. I thought they did a good job. They repurposed nicely, as they always do. You have fun?
Yeah, more importantly, great job, CBS Sports Network. Awesome. All those guys were fantastic.
I love it. We're heading out to the draft. Tiki's going tomorrow night. I'm going in on Thursday. There's all sorts of, and we'll get into this a little deeper in the show, but now, what does it mean? I see a headline, the Raiders plotting something incredibly unexpected at 4. What does that mean? They could take a kicker? I mean, what could happen at 4?
Yeah.
That would be so incredibly
unless
wacky.
Unless they're going to trade up. We're going to trade up in the draft to get who?
But that wouldn't be weird. Most people think they want to move up a spot with the Jets.
There's nothing that they can do that's going to be incredibly amazing unless they take someone who we just didn't expect them to take.
The only thing that would really, I think, constitute, whether it's a big surprise, not necessarily wacky, but something based on the tea leaves, would be if they found a way to get their hands on Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Like if the Cardinals didn't take him, they made a move, they scooted up to beat other team up on the draft board. But we'll obviously do a lot of draft later in the show and more as we get deeper into it. Jason, deeper into the week. Jason Lock and Four coming up next hour. Barry Trammell. We were driving. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in traffic. I texted Santa. I said, see if you can get Barry on the show. Good job. He got him. We'll talk to him this hour. He is the disenfranchised columnist, basically, at least in terms of getting in information from Russell Westbrook.
From Russell Westbrook. We'll get to the bottom of the beef and what the talk in Oklahoma is like. Obviously, nationally, it's very negative towards Russell Westbrook. One, because of his attitude, but more importantly, because they're down 3-1 mm-hmm. to Portland. And so and now having to go back to Portland. So this series is effectively over. But, what's the thought process in Oklahoma about the Oklahoma City Thunder, particularly Russell Westbrook?
And that relationship. Yep. I mean, the thing that I keep coming back to, and this is what I really can't wait to ask Barry, how do you do your job? Mm. Like, how do you not lose credibility, even though it's not Barry Trammell's fault? How do you not lose credibility with the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base when their best player won't answer a question? I mean, seriously, imagine some of the great New York columnists trying to put out a column and Aaron Judge won't talk to him.
Well,
or
I mean,
5 years ago, Carmelo wouldn't speak to him.
Well, he's got to do.
Or Jacob deGrom won't talk to him. I mean, think about that.
Yeah, he's got to get all his information from the pool, basically, from stuff other people ask.
Pretty much, almost like a regurgitation.
Yeah,
which
actually sucks because it's nothing original for you or not pertinent to whatever story you're trying to write.
That'll be a good conversation. We've got some good questions for Barry, and I was doing some deeper research earlier. Where it stems from, it actually goes back to, there were some episodes in 2015. Mm-hmm. We all remember the circus a couple of years back when he wouldn't let Steven Adams answer.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams just sitting there like a monster. That reminded me of an old WWF figure whose manager was doing the talking.
But why would Steven Adams let that happen?
I have no idea.
Him.
Because he's probably, Russ is his boy and they're tight and he's not going to create friction there.
And I guess it didn't come down harshly on Stephen Adams, so he doesn't really care. You know what I mean?
No,
he didn't feel any ill effects.
He didn't feel any ill effects from
being Russ's puppet.
Which is kind of what he was for a little bit there. Finally got around to answering some other questions. But it's a little more deep-rooted, I think, than it's been portrayed. So that's coming up. All right, so tonight you mentioned the Thunder. The game we have to really zero in on, the Spurs and the Nuggets here. Mm-hmm. This series is tied up at 2. It's the third game of the night. You've got the Raptors and the Magic. I would expect... I actually picked the Raptors in 6. I thought the Magic would get a second game. I don't think that will happen now. They're a team that's ascending, but you would imagine the Raptors close the door on them tonight. Nets and Sixers, I don't really know what to expect. I mean, do you get one last, you know, passionate, you know, really everything that you have going to your basketball soul from the Brooklyn Nets? You might get a 13-point loss. I don't really know. But the Denver Nuggets and the Spurs are going to be awesome.
Yeah,
that's the game.
That's the game to because I don't know how that series is going to end right now. I think it's going 7, and I couldn't tell you with any level of conviction who I thought or who should win the series because they're playing equally, whether home or away. They're splitting on the road or at home, regardless, you know, with respect to whichever team is home or away. And so it's a great series, to be honest with you. You usually don't get these in the first round, but it's playing out to be one of the most exciting ones that we've seen. All the other ones have been relative sweeps or gentleman sweeps like we saw last night. With the Bucks sweeping the Pistons, and the Pistons were horrible. We talked about this going into the week, really, and it just manifested itself last night in ridiculous fashion. And the question, though, comes not from the game because we knew that they were going to win. Is when you look at what Giannis Antetokounmpo did last night, he played 31 minutes, I believe, in the game. He didn't need to, but there were points where he interestingly looked tired.
Right?
Yeah, there were points where he looked gassed, and when you break it down, it's because he worked so hard on both sides of the court. Right, they ask him to do so much as an offensive creator, whether it's in transition or in the half court. They ask him to be, you know, a defender, a rim protector. He's everything, right, for this team. And so when you look at, you know, his minutes over the last 3 or 4 games, 31 minutes. 27 minutes in game 3. Game 2, he was 29 minutes. And game 2, he was 31 minutes. Game 1, he was 23 minutes. Right? So they've managed him because they need him to be, you know, strong and healthy and anticipating this matchup with the Boston Celtics, where I'm worried about Giannis. Because,
why?
Because he's had an unbelievable season this year. An MVP quality season. I don't think he's going to win the MVP, unfortunately, but whatever. He's had an MVP quality season.
Yeah.
But he works so hard, right? And I think when he plays the Boston Celtics, you know, playing 30 minutes is not going to get it done.
No, he's going to have to. He's going to be playing 38, 39,
exactly.
4-quarter games.
Which he hasn't
probably
done.
Probably 6 or 7
Which he hasn't
series,
done this year, BT.
Which is why I'm not worried. He's fresh.
That's
the least of my concerns.
That's the number one concern if I'm the Bucks right
way.
Now. If I'm a Bucks fan.
Because
Giannis,
I'm not worried about that.
Giannis played 37 minutes last year. He was down to 33 minutes this year. So they're conserving him. They're trying to. Which when I watched the game last night against the Pistons, it was almost like he got tired at points.
That doesn't remotely concern me at all, to the point where it didn't even enter my realm of thought. As I look at this series, and we hit it yesterday. Uh-huh. Now, by the way, I don't agree with you, but can you be right? Sure, I guess you could be right. He's a kid. He's in his early 20s. He hasn't been playing big minutes. He's got a freakish body. Cardiovascularly, he's like a marathon runner. And let me ask you this. Does he do more than... say Steph Curry running off screens and handling the ball.
Yeah, but Steph Curry is a smaller player. He's not moving as much body. You know what I mean? But Giannis actually is doing as much as Steph. Seriously, like the way he moves and his aggression and the physicality, like he bangs into guys to make baskets, which is exhausting over the course of a game.
How many open dunks does he get? He gets more open dunks than anybody in the NBA.
A lot. But a lot of that's because he's running in transition.
That's true.
And then he turns around and he got to run back because he has a defensive role. It's not like he chills. He's not like he's, Boogie, who goes and sits in the DeMarcus Cousins and goes and sits in the paint, just kind of hangs out there. It's not his role.
Well, to your point, he doesn't float.
Yes.
He doesn't have the luxury of floating.
He can't.
No, I understand that. But it's funny. I think about this series, right? And
Boston series.
The Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's... like, that's not even, that's thousands of miles off my radar.
That's right at the top of my radar. Because a team that has experience playing in the postseason and in a postseason superstar in Kyrie Irving and LaMarcus, not LaMarcus Aldridge, not Tatum.
Jaylen Brown.
Yep,
Jaylen Brown. Horford's been around a long time. Marcus Smart's on the treadmill working out.
So they have experience at this point. The Bucks don't. And there's an adrenaline, dump that happens when you're young and you're making you're advancing, and I can see this game one getting out of hand and maybe carrying over. I'm just telling you, BT.
Stop.
It's something that just sits in the back of my mind that I noticed last night, because Giannis looked like he was tired. He only played 30 minutes, BT,
which is why he shouldn't be tired.
But he looked like he was at times.
Well, I mean, what was he like this at the free throw? Hold on.
Yes. Yes. BT, exactly that. I swear to you.
What are you saying?
I swear to you, there were points in the game where Giannis is bent over, catching his breath. Now, it's because he was going in longer spurts, right? He wanted to close this game out. He usually goes in 6.5, 7-minute spurts. He was going 8.5-minute spurts at a time, but he works on both ends, man.
I understand that. He's 24 years old.
Okay.
Whatever he is.
Okay. I'm just telling
you. He's 24.
And he's not little.
He's 240 pounds.
But he's not little.
You make it seem like it's Rick Mahorn trying to truck up and down a court. Let me tell you something. And again, if fatigue, if that's why they lose, okay, I'll tip my imaginary cap to you. If fatigue is what we're worried about with the Bucks,
I am.
Then we have no reason to watch the series.
No, you got to watch the series because it's going to be interesting. The question:
he might be the most finely tuned athlete in the NBA.
You think?
He might be.
I don't think so.
I mean, in terms of body fat, in terms of cardiovascular stuff, in terms of hops, in terms of point A to point B sprinting
what's
speed.
What's more important to me is how does Chris Middleton, how does Eric Bledsoe, how do these guys step
Lopez
up?
Lopez hit some threes.
Lopez, how do they step into the
that
void
I agree with you
when he sits down? Because we know what runs the Bucks. It's Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
It's the MVP. It's can these other guys, when he takes his breathers, because he's going to have to take his breathers, right? You don't go from averaging 33 minutes to going in the playoffs and playing 38
sure
minutes or 40 minutes.
Yes, you do.
And do it seamlessly.
Oh, is it? Well,
I just don't know. I'm worried about it, only because he played 30 minutes last night, BT, and he looked like he was tired. I'm just telling you.
I tell you what, man, we've done a lot of shows together, right? I mean, 6 years now.
Yeah.
Of all the show and all the opening segments we've had, and we've had some disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't disagree. Like, what are you telling me here? He's going to get tired?
No, I don't
Giannis
know.
Giannis is going to get tired?
I'm worried that he might get tired.
I think you're nuts. You're nuts. Tired.
There's more stars out there for the Boston Celtics. There's more experience for the Boston Celtics.
Those are different conversations, though.
I agree.
We want to talk depth, deployment.
Depth is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to play. I don't know. I mean, what is he... Mike, what is his game... I can't believe I'm going to even ask this question.
His
what was
game
his
log?
Game log from last year's playoffs? Like, did he have...
I don't even remember.
He definitely played some 36, 38. He's going to have to. What? Let me ask you this. How is James Harden not tired?
Because James Harden is probably the most finely tuned athlete in the NBA.
You really think so?
Well, there's no doubt about it, BT.
He takes half the time off on defense.
No, he doesn't. James Harden is moving fast, even though he looks like he's moving slow. Trust me. You can just watch him. All of a sudden, he's at the rim. And you're like, wait, how the hell did you get to the rim? You know what I mean? James Harden moves fast. And he plays 38 minutes. And he knocks down shots for the entirety of the 38 minutes. I'm just telling you, James Harden is older. He's more experienced. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not. He's young. He's 24 years old. He hasn't been to the stage. There's an adrenaline that's going to happen.
Right, here's what bothers me
about this.
I'm
just worried
about
the Bucks if Giannis can't go 38 minutes.
But what do you think he's going to say, bud? I can't play?
No,
you
I think he's going.
So let me ask you this, though, and this is what bothers me about this, because if you're
the Celtics, why? That's exactly what my game plan is. Wear this dude out.
Okay, fair. I want an answer here, and I don't think we'll get an answer because we can't necessarily 100% attribute inefficiency to fatigue. Sometimes you just miss shots.
True.
So, like, if we're sitting here three games into the series and Giannis is shooting 38%, you're telling me he's tired.
Well, you just,
I can't necessarily say
you
that you're wrong.
You look at the efficiency from start to finish. You just follow it. It's a curve, right? Well, did he start hot or did he start cold?
And then, who do you think is going to win the series? Who do you like?
I want to say the Bucks.
Uh-huh.
Because I love the Bucks.
Uh-huh.
They got a former Wahoo on the squad
who
I think is going to come back from this. In this Boston series, this round two series, and Malcolm Brogdon, but experience matters.
Okay.
I think Boston might find a way to win the series.
All right, 1-855-212-4227. Are you buying? I can't believe I'm going to ask this question. Are you buying my partner's grave concerns about the fatigue level of Giannis
fatigue,
and
experience and somebody else stepping
up to
fill the
void. Three different layers
but
into
that's,
it.
But that's what it comes down to, BT.
If he could play
40 minutes and score 50 points every night,
Because, listen, they do say that. Like, they attribute this to, like, you hear this about NFL players quite a bit. When you first get in there for the first couple of the series, your breathing is all out of whack.
Right.
And the moment when you're a rookie, I understand that there's degrees of experience.
He's never been this far, BT. And so this is
like the Bucks. I'm leaning toward the Bucks here, man.
Right.
I am leaning toward the Milwaukee Bucks.
Experience matters. Just remember
right.
I say that.
Okay. We'll get into this a little deeper. We touched on the Nuggets and the Spurs before. You asked the question. I'm going to answer it directly for you, Teague. Which team has more pressure tonight? Mm-hmm. I got my answer. I don't think it's even close. We'll get to that. Barry Trammell's going to join us, the Thunder reporter, who's got this ridiculous frosty relationship or non-relationship with Russell Westbrook. We've got Jason Lock and Four coming up in hour number two, inbounds, out of bounds as well. And Jordan Palmer, third hour, former quarterback who works with quarterbacks. He's got some very interesting clients. We'll talk quarterbacks as we get ready for the NFL draft. Teague and Tierney on a busy Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, which you are using. And we'll get to the calls in a sec. 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Teague and Tierney, of course, getting ready to hit the road Thursday and Friday. We're taking our show to Nashville, Tennessee. Wow, 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 wow. NFL draft presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a comfort flex waistband and denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series, try on a pair today. That is going to be awesome. We are right in the middle of the Fan Fest, the middle of the mayhem, and it should be mayhem. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know Eddie George is stopping by our set. Many other luminaries. Eddie.
Nashville's greatest.
Oh,
or at least
George
Tennessee's
greatest.
I think he lives in Nashville still.
Not sure where he lives. I think he bounces around because he was doing the whole acting thing back and forth with NYC, right?
Yeah.
So he's coming by, and listen, we'll get all the big names you expect here with Teague and Tierney, and on the TV side, that will be supplemented as well. We'll do a draft special tomorrow night. Myself and Adam Schein, of course, Amy Trask, Big Dog, London Fletcher. So we got a little tops preview, so we're going to roll out. And before you know it, it's going to be upon us, and it should be a lot of fun. So it's a great time of the year. Well, look, I guess I can lay back for the next 10 minutes, and you guys can attack Teague. I guess Giannis, if he can make it up and down the court three times, as Teague is not sure that he can.
Experience matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's going to be gassed. I'm just talking about fatigue. All right. It shows itself in many different ways.
Yeah. Fatigue. Let's get Ben in Pennsylvania. And Ben is first up, Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Ben, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay.
All right. Hey, Teague, I'll be the first to lay it on you, man. I just don't agree with what you're saying about Giannis, and I think that if he's having the MVP caliber level of play this season that we all think he has,
yes,
I just don't think there's a concern for him to be tired.
Well, it's not a think thing. We know he's played at an MVP caliber level, but the issue is he's only played 32 minutes a game this season, so it's not like he's conditioned to go 40 or more, you know, depending on what happens in this series. And there's just something about being experienced in the postseason. We've seen it. guys short circuit, whether or not, doesn't matter if they're great or not. And so he plays so hard. You watched it against the Detroit Pistons. He could have chilled for the majority of this series, and they still would have beat the Detroit. Detroit was terrible, right? They had some big guys in there, but he plays so hard, right? Offensively, he works his ass off. Defensively, it's the same way. I just worry against a Boston Celtics team that has a ton of experience, he gets worn out trying to do it all.
Well, listen, this is one thing, different style right away when Bud was brought in and they changed the coach and they went in a different direction. Mm-hmm. It's obviously proven to be a terrific move here. He's a great coach.
No doubt.
You know, they shoot a lot more threes. Stylistically, it's different. But he's also shaved off a few minutes, you know, per game for Giannis with the greater vision down the road and anticipating what should be or what certainly could be a lengthy run. Patrick is in Wisconsin. I'm sure he's a big Bucks fan. He's on Tiki and Tierney. Patrick, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. First of all, y'all got to be excited, man.
Oh, super excited. Tiki, I love you, man, but you're crazy on this one.
Why? Tell me why.
There's no way Giannis is getting tired. Giannis is one of those guys, first guy in the gym, last guy to leave the gym. Coach Bud has done a great job conserving his minutes all year, just for this series.
But he's only, but here's the thing, Patrick. He's only played 40 minutes four times this season, right? And so there's something about doing it. BT always asked me this when we joke. This is probably earlier in our show when BT was in less good shape than he is now, talking about running.
Not my fault, by the way.
No, it wasn't. He had a jacked-up back.
Jacked up.
But we're talking about getting fast. You're like, how do you get fast? I'm like, you can't. You got to practice running fast to actually run fast. You got to practice playing 40 minutes in order to play 40 minutes. I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's going to like be gassed and ineffective because he's a superstar. I'm just saying at some point in this series, I think you might see fatigue catch up to Giannis, especially because of the experience of the Boston Celtics.
Get Patrick, shut him down. Please shut him down, Patrick, will you?
His body better than anyone. He's in the gym 7 days a week. After the game, he's in the gym. And one more thing. You saying Harden is a better athlete than Giannis?
No, I'm talking about conditioning. Conditioning.
He doesn't play any defense. He doesn't set any screens. He's just dribbling there for 20 seconds, and then he's shooting up the rock.
Yeah.
Giannis is setting screens.
He did have a stretch of games, let's not forget, in the middle of the season, Patrick, where he scored 30-something points a game, was playing 35 or 36 minutes every night.
All sorts of records.
It was ridiculous.
I think what Patrick's saying, I think, and I would agree.
I'm not talking about the vanity.
I mean conserving energy. I mean the ability to, you know, you yo-yo. Sure, you get a little tired. Yeah. You expend energy, bounce, dribble left, right. You know, when you basically don't move for 15 seconds, you're dribbling.
True.
But what is he really, what's his chase rate on defense?
But there's something to that. Like, so we're comparing apples and oranges here, right? James Harden is extraordinarily conditioned to play his game, how he does it. If he needed to play 48 minutes, if he needed to play 54 minutes, I bet James Harden could do it at a high level for 54 minutes.
Okay.
Right? And you're right. He doesn't play defense. Giannis does.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play against a team like Boston that's young and they run around a ton, they have weapons everywhere, Giannis is going to be working hard on the defensive side of the ball. And the only way that they win this series is if he's also kicking ass on the offensive side. He's got to score 35.
Well, you're really selling
points.
This thing hard,
just,
aren't you?
I'm just telling you. This is what I think about when I think about this Bucks series.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not, you know, they had number one record in the East. I mean, they're foregone conclusion. Eric Bledsoe's turned into this great two-way player. Chris Middleton's the most, you know, talked about substar that nobody ever talks about. Mm-hmm. I mean, not talked about substar that nobody talks about, right? I think about the superstar. I know Kyrie is going to ball. I just know it. It just is what it is.
Let me ask you a question.
He shoots better in the postseason than he does in the regular season. You know what I mean?
Do you think this series will flip more so on the superstars delivering or the ancillary parts contributing and making sure they match their efficiency? Because my answer is B.
Yeah, I think
I expect Giannis to shine. I expect Kyrie to be a beast.
Agreed.
Now it's the other part.
Okay.
Is Lopez shooting 23% from downtown?
Okay, here's,
or 38% over
we
the
see,
next two
what did
weeks?
We see last
I don't know.
Year, what did we see last year from the Boston Celtics when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were out?
we saw the young guys take a monster quantum leap forward.
Exactly, and took them deep.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Could be complicated. We talked about Marcus Smart yesterday.
True.
He's on a treadmill. Danny Ainge was in front of him yet today with the workout. And that's my concern. You know, the condition, as much as I'm jabbing you with this, maybe you're right. I mean, I don't buy it. I think it's lunacy, but you could be right. What I'm worried about is, and what I think is the greatest challenge and variable in this series, how does Brad Stevens redistribute the minutes once Marcus Smart is ready to play?
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
I think it's
going to be
huge.
A big deal, of course.
It's going to be
because
a very big deal.
Those guys want to be the man. They just do. They know that Kyrie's the guy, but they want to be – they want to serve their role, do their part. And if Marcus Smart's minutes are thrown in there, mm-hmm. they're getting smaller and smaller parts. It's like there's not enough air, right? There's not enough to breathe in that room. There's too many good players that are important in the postseason on the Boston Celtics right now. But that's a good problem. You know, when you talk
not
about
not if it's handled right. It's not a good problem. Think about this. You go from
But there's not gonna be any, like, when the game is on the line.
Yep.
Kyrie's in the game. Kyrie's got his hands on the ball.
I'm talking about the other guys. I'm talking about the other guys who have been empowered.
Well, if Jason
with
Tatum
excess minutes and shots.
And if Jason Tatum and those youngins can't figure it out, guess what? Marcus Smart's gonna be in the game. And it's gonna suck for them, but that is what it is.
He's also, you got to adapt and you got to adjust. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I do think that, you know, a guy like Marcus Smart, how do you steal a game in the playoffs? You steal a game, and I used the term grit yesterday. There's mm-hmm. going to be a game. I don't know if it's going to be game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 if it goes that deep. There's going to be a game when Kyrie Irving is 4 for 17. Or equate whatever percentage based on however many shots he takes, but he's going to throw up a bunch of bricks one night.
Yes.
He's going to.
Yes.
And that's the night that Brad Stevens, and he needs to do this delicately, needs to unleash the pit bull, the Eastern Conference version of Patrick Beverley, and steal one.
Yeah.
With a resolute energy, with just an energy that is palpable, that isn't necessarily statistically driven or quantifiable. But a guy who's going to get in their jocks and go toe to toe with somebody when the Celtics are shooting 39% or 40%.
Yeah,
and if Brad Stevens doesn't do it at the right time, downhill could be an issue.
But then you sacrifice.
Just telling you.
You sacrifice scoring. Marcus Smart sometimes is lights out. Other times it's like,
oh, he can go 1 for 9.
What are you doing?
There's no doubt about it. Can easily go 1 for 9. Matter of fact, eventually he's going to play some heavy minutes, whether it's this series or the next series that they advance. You could book it. He's going to have a night where he takes, 5 or 6 threes and he hits none. I mean, there's no doubt he's going to be almost an offensive zero. Brad Stevens, this is where his job gets a little tricky, and it's going to be fun to watch, you know? All right, Teague, let's get into this coming up next year. We teased it, and Barry Trammell, you watch these weird, infantile press conferences, at least pertaining to Russell Westbrook. The non-answers, the short answers, it's just the cryptic answers. It's a joke. The root of this is Barry Trammell, and this goes back a couple of years ago. He is the primary columnist for the Oklahoman out there. He's been on the scene for about 40 years, so he knows the lay of the land. Russ doesn't respect him, doesn't like him. There's a fractured relationship, and it's a problem. And we're going to actually have Barry on the show. Can't wait to have the conversation, which we will do after Ack's update, which is coming at you right now. Here's Ack. Tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, CBS Sports Network goes to the Diamond, an in-state matchup. This should be fun. A little Nebraska-Creighton baseball, the Cornhuskers and the Blue Jays. That's high-level stuff. Don't miss exciting college baseball action on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and SiriusXM 206. Next hour, inbounds, out of bounds, Jason Locke and Fora, football at the 40s. Third hour coming up, 5 Eastern, Odell Beckham Jr. unleashing a stream of Twitter fury. I don't know why he wastes his time with this stuff. It's ridiculous. We'll get into it. I'm not saying that Gettleman is 100% absolved from any wrong. Matter of fact, I think he's carrying this a little bit too long here. I think he should let it go. But Beckham,
it's not important. It's not whatever.
It's not productive. Whatever. We'll get to it coming up, no doubt. The 4 basketball games tonight. So we got a full slate. We're going to Nashville midweek for the draft. It's good stuff here on the show. And Teague, this just piqued our curiosity. No way around it. Barry Trammell is an accomplished, longtime columnist in the great state of Oklahoma. He's with the Oklahoma now. and he's been there for a while. Obviously covers the Thunder, the Sooners, etc. And we all know that the fracture in the relationship with Westbrook and Barry himself has hit a point where really, if you watch basketball at all, you just can't ignore it. It's almost becoming, it's a joke at this point. And I wanted to have him on the show and talk to him, get a sense of what's what. And Barry is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Barry, welcome to the show. How you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing well, guys. Just waiting for game five to tip off.
Mm-hmm. And get a bunch of non-answers, I'm sure. Barry, I know, enough columnists, enough reporters, enough journalists. And there is a difference between being a journalist and just an opinion giver, if you will. You're a journalist. And I know that journalists don't like inserting themselves into the story. You become the story. I'm sure it's uncomfortable. Day to day, just how challenging is this for you to actually do your job?
It's not too uncomfortable because, Westbrook's not really depriving me of anything. Because he's not ever been terribly forthcoming, even when he answers questions. They're not great.
Yeah.
He's not real insightful. So it's not like the rest of the world's getting good information and I'm not. So I'm not behind. I'm just in lockstep with everybody else. It's just that he sort of singled me out. So it's not. And frankly, my fellow reporters have, supported me well, which everybody expects that. But even my readers and the fans of the Thunder have not really taken to the streets with swords and torches.
Yeah,
wanting demanding my head. They sort of see this as just sort of untoward behavior by Westbrook. So that's made it a lot easier as well.
Yeah, but Barry, what was the tipping point? What made this so, I don't know, difficult to exist between you two?
Well, the most recent thing was January. He didn't like a question I asked, and since then he's gone to the next question mode with me for 3 months. Everybody in Oklahoma is sort of used to it. It's not a big deal. Then you get to the playoffs, and the press conferences are televised, and it becomes sort of a thing. But it goes back 3 or 4 years when he declared after at one point he wasn't really cooperating with the media, and I asked him what was wrong, and he said he just didn't like me. So that's why he said that. I have zero idea up to that point. Now since then we've had a couple of run-ins. He famously intercepted a question I asked Stephen Adams in the 2017 playoffs. Wouldn't let Steven answer the question.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that earlier.
I didn't give up the microphone. I sort of belabored the point, and that became a thing. So we, things like that have happened. So it's just not a good, sometimes I say it's not a good relationship, but that's not true. There is no relationship. It's just, I think Russell likes to control things, and he likes to control the media, policies and the media department, and I've sort of dug my heels in and said you're actually not going to get to control this part of it.
Yeah,
you can control your end, but you're not going to control our end, and that's sort of where we're at.
Okay, we're talking to Barry Trammell, the columnist for the Oklahoman. Obviously, the Russell Westbrook stuff, the exchanges, petty, juvenile, unprofessional. And I wanted to get a sense of what the origin of the beef here is with us here on the show.
Obviously, Barry, Russ is a great player, right? Former MVP, averaging a triple-double. He's fantastic. And this is in his mind, likely a small part of his existence. But in your readers' minds or just local Oklahoma City fans, how do they view Russell?
Well, he's a state hero. There's no question about that. And he was before Kevin Durant left. But after Durant left and then Russell twice pledged his commitment to Oklahoma City with a one-year extension and then the five-year max deal, he became, the favorite son. So everybody loves him to some degree. However, they're not winning like they've been accustomed to these last 2 or 3 years. And, Oklahoma's a little bit of a, You know, it's not Philadelphia. It's not, you know, I don't want to begrudge any city, but we're not real caustic people.
No.
You know, so they don't really like untoward behavior. They don't like people acting out for no good reason. And I've been around forever, and I'm not any kind of hero in town, but most people know me and most people respect me, and I've been around forever, and most people seem to think, you know, he shouldn't be acting this way. So he's damaged his own status a little bit. He's still beloved. I'm not saying he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was a time when if this had occurred, I would not be very popular in town. But that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that's Shane. Barry, let me ask you this. How complicit are the Thunder and all this stuff here? We know about the league-mandated mm-hmm. rules, and you have to go to the podium. They obviously can't forcefully open your jaw and make you speak, but they can put you up there, and at that point it's up to you whether or not you want to be a pro. But the role of the Thunder, what is it at this point, do you think? And are they at fault?
Yes, in that they created this culture. They've enabled Westbrook over the years. They've helped give him a sense of control in a variety of things. I think it's gotten away from him. I think they realize now they've made some mistakes in that regard. He came in as a rookie, somewhat distrustful of the media, and rather than work to sort that out and build relationships, they've contributed to the barriers that keep things from improving. So I would say the Thunder is quite complicit in this. By design, you know, they want to create a very player-friendly organization. Few media demands. They don't want the players to ever think that they have to do something that they don't want to do, or they protect them at all costs.
So they coddle them. They coddle the players.
That's largely correct.
I got you. But Barry, do you think that, because now we're starting to see signs that it's infecting Paul George, mm-hmm. and, you know, we referenced a couple of years ago after the Rockets game when Steven Adams sat there like a mummy, didn't say a word, which was pretty embarrassing. Is this infecting the rest of the locker room? Like, to what degree are you able to have good conversations, healthy exchanges with the rest of the Thunder?
Friday night was the first sign that it really has infected anything else. That was a bad look for Paul George. You know, Westbrook doesn't care if he makes himself look bad. He sort of goes out of his way to do that at times. But Paul George has a pretty good reputation. And Paul George, you know, it works well with the media and, you know, certainly has got a good relationship with Oklahoma media since he got here. But Friday night was not a good look, I didn't think, and other people seem to agree with me. When he comes in and they sort of giggle when I ask a question, and Paul, under his breath, says, "Do you want me to tell him?" And then when somebody asks Paul about the dunk at the end of the game, he says, "Next question." That was a bad sign, and I think that was a tipping point. Because we saw, you know, a bigger backlash after that than we'd ever seen before. Steve Kerr even goes out and comments on it and says, "This is not good for the league." And last night, I thought we got off high center a little bit, Sunday night. We got off high center a little bit. Russell didn't say next question. He didn't really answer my question, but he didn't say next question. And he didn't use a tone that was sort of derogatory or
confrontational.
Right. Yeah. He was sort of pleasant about it.
Yeah.
So I took that as a sign of improvement. So I'm somewhat encouraged.
There we go. A thawing in the relationship. Barry Tremble, longtime columnist. He's out there in Oklahoma, the Oklahoman. Appreciate you hopping on and shedding some light on what is just a mysteriously weird situation. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet. See you later.
Be good, Barry.
There you go. Odd. And
yeah.
His point about Paul George is a good one. I don't want to see Paul George start going down this road.
Russ, you just kind of expect
it. He's quirky. He's always been a little quirky.
Course, and you expect it. Look at this. Look how he dresses. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, I don't get that. But it informs you about his personality.
A little bit.
Right? Paul George is not that. And so I hope it was short-lived for Paul George, because I don't want to see Paul George go down that road.
No, and I just don't see how when the franchise leader projects that. How is that healthy for the rest of the guys?
It can't be.
There's no way
it can't
be healthy.
Good for the organization, because it makes the organization look, especially when, as Barry was just detailing, they're complicit in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I believe that they are as well. I don't want to throw this all on Billy Donovan's doorstep here, but I don't know if it was a different coach, maybe a little more authority,
maybe,
a little more.
Maybe. If it was like a pop level coach, then it'd be different.
Mm-hmm.
But what can Billy Donovan say to Russell Westbrook?
I hear you. I guess.
Got a max deal, and he's.
It's true.
You know, he's the icon.
And he predates Billy.
Exactly.
I mean, Scotty Brooks was there before Billy.
Exactly.
I got you. All right, Teak. A good hour there. Coming up, we got inbounds, out of bounds here. I'm already, you know. Listen, don't tell me that it means nothing. Don't tell me. I know what the word voluntary means. Where the hell's Le'Veon Bell? Why is Le'Veon Bell not showing up?
Particularly for a guy who took zero snaps last year, BT.
Yep.
Who didn't play football for over a year.
Not showing up. You got a new coach. You got a young quarterback. You got new teammates. You got a new system. You got a new lease on life. You got a new contract. You don't show up for the first day of voluntary workout? Come on. Inbounds, out of bounds. Next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.